on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. We'll start with an update on PFW shutting down its baseball and softball programs. Then Victoria Jacobson drops by to discuss the latest in high school volleyball, track, and tennis tournaments. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brianna Barrow, filling in for Zach Bernard, who's on vacation. He'll be back next week. A day after announcing the elimination of about 45 staff positions, Purdue University Fort Wayne announced the immediate elimination of its baseball and softball programs. 56 student athletes competed in the NCAA Division I programs, each of which completed their seasons earlier this month. In a statement late last week, the decision is expected to save the university roughly $1 million a year. The school says it plans to honor all scholarships to the athletes and support will be given to those students who wish to transfer to other schools to continue their playing careers. Officials say mental health resources will also be made available. Athletic Director Kelly Hartley Hutton says the decision was not made lightly and recognizes that it will be upsetting to many within the university community. Chancellor Ron Elsenbaumer again cited the uncertain financial terrain faced by the school and other regional universities due to enrollment trends and decreased state and federal funding. The elimination of the programs does not affect the university's NCAA Division I status. And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The first ever IHSAA Boys Volleyball State Tournament came to an end for our local teams over the weekend. Which school came out on top?
Yes, so we had two local teams win sectionals and go on to the regional tournament at Peru. And so we had Carroll win at DeKalb and then Homestead win at Southside. They went and played each other on Saturday in the regional semifinal. As has been the case when they played each other many times during the regular season, it turned out to be another close one. Homestead wins in four sets and so went on to the regional final against Fishers. Unfortunately, that's kind of where the road ended for the Spartans, losing three sets. But it was still a really remarkable season for our local teams. You know, as Coach Jacob Allred was saying, Homestead is a team where most of these guys have been playing at most 2 years. Fishers is a team where pretty much everybody on their team has been playing organized volleyball for quite a long time now. So Fishers is going to move on to the inaugural IHSAA State Finals at Purdue's Mackey Arena this coming weekend. They're one of four teams who will be playing there. Homestead, you know, has a sectional title and a regional semifinal win under their belt. And, you know, they can see the program is growing and has a lot to be proud of. And, you know, maybe give it a couple more years and they will be at the level where they will be threatening Fishers for kind of those coveted spots in the state finals.
Track and field competitions continue across the state. No surprise seeing Carroll come out with a regional earlier this week.
Yes, so this is the third year in a row, but it was still pretty emotional because, you know, I was talking to Adele Schlatterbach, who is a senior. She's been a part of the last two regional champions, but, you know, she said as a senior, you realize how much this has meant to you and how much your teammates have meant to you. There were some tears there as they raised the trophy. She was a winner in the 300 hurdles, had a personal best time of a 44.05 seconds, which is a personal best in a very, very competitive 300 hurdles. Kayla Williams-Thomas of Northrop was second, and Adele's own teammate, Alyssa Davis, was third, also in a personal best time. And so it was just a really exciting day for the Chargers. They also go 1-2, finishing first and second in both the 100 and the 200, led by Nadia Ford, and then Eva Muller finishing second in both of those. And they also claim victory with Caitlin Peters in the high jump and then the 4x1. Maybe not a surprise because they did win that at the state finals last year with many of the same runners. And then after finishing second in the 4x4 at the sectional meet, come out ahead this time and win the 4x400, which was kind of the icing on the cake. They didn't need that victory to clinch the regional title, but it meant a lot to them. This last race of the meet, always an exciting way to end. So there's a lot to look forward to. Maybe they're not quite the favorites, if you look across the state in the state picture, to win a state title. But after seeing what they did yesterday, if everything breaks their way, there's certainly room for them to come and sneak in and who knows, maybe win that state title that they've been coveting this season.
Where does the track tournament go from here?
Let's start with the boys, because the boys and the girls are on slightly different schedules. We didn't get to talk about the boys' sectionals, which happened last week after we recorded last week's episode, but I was down at New Haven, where the host Bulldogs won a sectional title on their home track, and it was the first time that they have won a conference title and a sectional title in the same year. So it was really exciting for the Bulldogs. They have never won a regional title, and so as we're recording this, waiting for the boys regional at Carroll on Thursday, that is something to look out for. They have strong contenders in a lot of different events, whether it's the sprints, hurdles, throws, the kind of a very well-rounded team. So excited to see what happens for them and our other regional competitors on Thursday afternoon at Carroll. And then both the boys and the girls will be competing in the state finals at North Central High School. And not this weekend, but the following weekend. Boys first on Friday and then girls on Saturday. So excited to see. We have, especially on the girls' side, a couple people such as Carol's Nadia Ford and Concordia's Mallory Weller, who could very well be contenders for state championships in their events.
You and Zach have talked a lot about weather delays this spring. Last week, tennis sectionals kept getting moved because of the rain. What happened when they were finally able to play?
Oh, yes. So this is one of those weeks where you just want to say a prayer for your local athletic directors. I went to Carroll on Friday. They were supposed to hand out the trophy on Thursday, but the Chargers didn't even end up playing their first match until Friday. So it was one of those days where several days of rain in a row, all of the schedules were all over the place. So, you know, Homestead managed to get in a match on Tuesday at an indoor court. So, you know, the Spartans were able to claim their sectional trophy on Thursday. Carroll, after playing in that first match, getting their postseason started a little bit late on Friday, the Chargers were able to beat Leo 5-0 in their championship match on Saturday. I went over to the Zollner Tennis Complex at Concordia, where the Cadets beat Bishop Dwenger 3-2. That one was a very intense match, came down to a three-set doubles match. But Concordia came out ahead for the third year in a row and then beat East Noble 3-2 in a regional semifinal. So the Cadets will be playing Carroll for a regional title. We will have still more tennis action to go because the Bluffton regional winner and the Carroll regional winner will be playing at Homestead for semi-state titles on Saturday. So still plenty of tennis. Hopefully it will actually be played when it's supposed to this week. But, you know, weather at this time of year is always going to be a little bit of a challenge.
Tin Caps are back on the road. How are they looking over the last week?
Yeah, there have been a couple challenges for the Tin Caps recently. One, as we've already discussed, has been the weather. That has meant games delayed. That has meant games played in not ideal weather. So that has been challenging. And then also the two-week homestand has been a little bit challenging. So they won their last game of the homestand over Cedar Rapids to get a series split in that second week. But overall, they were 4-8 over that 12-game homestand. So not really great when this is sort of the time of year when you're hoping to get more people in the stands, hoping to kind of get some momentum as we head into the really warm summer months. The Tin Caps dropped the series opener in Midland, Michigan, have 5 hits and strike out 12 times in a 5-1 loss. So they are currently right at 500, 23-23, and hopefully we'll get a little bit, improve on that a little bit over the next 5 games in Midland.
Victoria Jacobson covers the whole range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Pacers will look to finish off their series against the Knicks tonight. They dominated in the second half of Game 4 Tuesday night to take a 3-1 lead in the series. Now they're one win away from moving on to their first NBA Finals since 2000. They're back in New York, so winning it all tonight won't be easy. Even though they did beat the Knicks in the first two games at Madison Square Garden, their season is on the line now, which means players and fans will have a different energy for Game 5. Tip-off from New York is tonight at 8 on TNT. And in the WNBA, Caitlin Clark will be out a couple weeks with a left quad strain. It's her first long-term injury since becoming a pro, but the Fever were built in the offseason to handle this kind of adversity. They'll host the Connecticut Sun tomorrow night at 7:30 before a long weekend ahead of their game against the Washington Mystics on Tuesday. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. Zach Bernard will be back next week, hopefully previewing the Pacers in the NBA Finals. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brianna Barrow.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.